Hello and welcome to the Last Mixtape Podcast. My name is Stephen White, and on this week's show, we review Lemoncello's self-titled debut album, unpaid labour in the music industry, and the latest music from the week that was. But first, yes, dear listener, you're very welcome back to the Last Mixtape Podcast with me, Stephen White. And on this week's podcast, I want to talk to you about a recent Instagram post from Irish post-punk band New Pagans that really caught my eye. Now, listeners to the podcast will know that I'm a huge fan of this band and I actually love this post by them. It's around the subject of unpaid labour in the Irish, or in the music scene as in large, international and in the Irish music scene. And I suppose it kind of can be about the subject of unpaid labour in the arts in general, I suppose. And if people are listening from other disciplines, feel it might apply to them. So this is the post by them. It's on their Instagram post. You can read it and check it out yourself. I think it's great. And I really like the people bringing up this aspect of something that I think most artists would very much feel was not, you know, indicative, like not something that they would want to do, but maybe sometimes feel either forced to do or like it's the only way in, etc., etc. But anyway, so this is the post by them. By now, you probably know we love a good debate. This morning, we've been discussing the culture within the music industry of unpaid labour, often referred to as voluntary work, in local and international settings. In premise, it seems like a good idea. Work for free, gain experience, and maybe meet a few industry folk in the process. However, in reality, only people who have economic support can avail of these opportunities. Voluntary opportunities cannot, or at the least, very least, find it more difficult to be accessed by people from less affluent backgrounds, or people who are struggling to pay their bills. In this sense, it is time to abandon this model and start asking questions. Would you work for free? Is this ethical? Your thoughts are most welcome. So that is the post from New Pagans. And I could not agree more, dear listener. This is always something that, and I come from a working class background myself, so I know this rings true to me and it sings to me in a very real way. That I don't think anyone, let's put the cards on the table. I don't think there's very many, let's say, people in the music industry who are working at a ground level or working kind of in independent or close to that, that support the idea of unpaid labour. It very much is something that is, you know, a top-down thing. It's a kind of a learned thing. It's where people who are, as it kind of says in the post, alludes to it, more affluent people who are like, oh, well, just work for free. And in that time that you work for free, well, you make all the connections and then you'll be in a position where you'll be being paid and somebody else will be working for free. And this is how we sustain it. And I think I've said a few times about the music industry, and I think this goes to, as I say, many disciplines, is that it can't be an industry if there are people working in it unpaid. That isn't sustainable. It's not sustainable for the people at the bottom of that pyramid, and it's not sustainable for the people at the top of that pyramid, because if you take away the people at the bottom, you can't have the people at the top. So it's this kind of feeling that there's no equity in what people, how people view people's worth. You know, if you, a lot of the time, and I think the guys here are talking about obviously bands, but also people working as sound engineers, roadies, lighting engineers, and people who are promoters, even everyone to like designing the posters, or maybe there's people working in management for free and things like that. And I think it's a really nascent point that there are people who can avail of that and go, oh yeah, I'll work for free and I'll do my, you know, 12 months or whatever, you know, unpaid, and that will get my foot in the door and I can pay my way. But if you're somebody who is trying to pay rent on a flat in Dublin or anywhere now, that isn't really something that you can do. It's not really an option for you. You need a job. You need to be paid. That's kind of the base level of it. You need food. You might have a family, etc., etc. And that really prices out, you know, people out of that kind of, out of the creative sphere, because they might be like, look, I cannot sustain this. I cannot pay to do the thing that I love doing, whatever aspect of the arts that is. And I suppose kind of looking at it from that way, you can really feel like how many people are getting lost because of it. I agree with the band. I don't think it's ethical and I think it should be thrown out. The idea that anyone, like any industry, should have this kind of prove you're worth it before we pay you kind of type thing is fucking insane. You don't have it anyway. Like if somebody's working an apprenticeship as a carpenter or as an electrician, they'll get paid. They won't get paid as much as the top guy in the company, but they'll still get paid. And this should ring true for the industry as well. And it says, and this is the other, the kind of the double-edged sword of it, is that there might be people who are willing to pay people. So let's say you're a small band and you're trying to get your name out there. But you're working on a small budget because you're getting paid very small amount of money for playing a gig. So it's kind of this catch-22, a rubrous thing that everyone seems to be caught in. And it's very interesting when you try to think about it as a way of, well, how do you solve the problem? Because as the guys say, if you're not from an affluent background, if you're not somebody who's financially secure in any way, you don't really have the option to take these jobs, or not for a sustained period of time at the very least. So, but there are people who do. And as long as there's people who do, the option will be on the table. If you're some big wig somewhere in some record company and you can pay somebody half nothing or nothing at all for doing a job, or you pay somebody what they're worth, you're going to look at your budget and you're going to do it that way, because that's the belly of the beast, I suppose, in a lot of ways. And it's not right. And I wonder what could be done about this kind of thing. You know, a union for musicians, I think, is something that's been spoken about. You have unions for actors and stuff like that. And you can see the strikes that happened there surrounding the writer's strike in America, or in the film industry. And I think it's a really important point, because I think a lot of, at least, you know, from what I can see of the music industry and things like that, is there's so many people who are in that position. There's so many people who are great at their job or just getting into their job, and they're not being paid for it. Now, I know there's going to be people jumping on it as well. Well, I pay. Obviously, then, if you are somebody who does pay, not talking about you. But if there are people who don't, and it's not a sustainable thing to do, it's not ethical, it's not good for the music or any arts industry as a whole, because, as I say, it prices people out. So incredibly talented people are kind of maybe having to go and find something else, or are just going, look, I can't pursue this. And okay, here's where a little bit of my own kind of working class background comes in. There's a lot of fucking people out there who talk about how important it is to listen to working class voices. How important it is, and they'll fucking throw somebody up and make them stand in front of a graffitied wall and say, stand there, and you know, we'll look real fucking good whilst we do this. We're down like with that. But when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to actually thinking about people who are working class, when it actually comes to people who can't afford it, who and that actual conversation, not the fucking, you know, sexy bit of it, you know, and like, let's grab somebody here and like put them up on this pedestal and let's all look. The actual thing of like, how do we make our industry more inclusive, and any arts industry more inclusive for people who are not as affluent as others? And how many barriers are there? This is one barrier. I'm sure there's people listening to this or watching this can say, oh, there's many more. And as the guy's saying in New Pagans, it's not just in Ireland. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. And you wouldn't have it in many other industries. I'm sure in the film industry, there is people who have to work for free to get their foot in the door, maybe doing makeup or whatever. And let's say this is, you know, like, I understand people who do. This is not me saying, oh, if you're working for free, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely not. What I am saying is you shouldn't be put in that position, regardless of who you are. It should be a paid industry. So yeah, and that's not even to speak about the mental health aspect of it. And then of course there's this, you know, the romantic idea of the starving artist, you know, set upon by classic books and, you know, writers like Ernest Hemingway, if you read A Movable Feast, things like this, and, you know, art through suffering, which is something. But this kind of idea that, oh well, you know, that only kind of makes greater art. Well, go fuck yourself. You know, firstly, if you fucking think that, you know, really go fuck yourself. So, yeah, look, I think it's a very interesting thing. Do I have the answers to this? Absolutely not. But I think it's a very important conversation to be had, and a great one brought up by New Pagans. You check out their Instagram post. I'll share it as well online after I put up this clip. But yeah, it's a very interesting point. It's a really well-made point. And yeah, I think there's something that we could all do about it. We just get our heads together about it. But it's definitely something that should be eradicated from the music industry. Yes, dear listener, this week we turn our attention to Lemoncello and their self-titled debut album. a handcrafted, intricately laid out offering that rests itself upon a delicate power of subtlety. Limoncello's organic indie folk music is built within an entangled world of sparse yet striking sounds. The duo's debut is long in form. Songs never push nor outstay their welcome. A difficult tightrope act to walk. Indeed, songs like album opener Always Neighbours are songs with a story to tell, intricately told with upfront commanding vocals that hold the foreground, while the background is home to picked guitars and scratching string textures, adding a sense of tension that mirrors the lyrical musings. Limoncello are artists unafraid to weave music with patience. The impact of their debut is not from furious sounds or dynamics, but from the setting. The old trad sound of Mantelpiece takes its time, sounding as if it was performed in your front room. The brooding, clipped, harsh truths uses the minimalist production to create tension between the spaces. The powerful Old Friend delves deep in its dark folk corners, all of which play into the epic feel of the album itself. However, it's Limoncello's briefest offering that stands apart. Dopamine rolls and tumbles and rises and falls as the music melds with the duo's own vocal blend, distilling Limoncello's music into a twisting array of all of their best characteristics. And so it goes. Limoncello's self-titled debut is cast a striking shadow. Playing into a wider context of Irish folk, Limoncello create a space of their own, using drama and performance and patience to deliver a record not concerned by impact, but lasting in the long run. Limoncello's debut self-titled album, yeah, I would highly recommend you go and you check that out if you are a big fan of the folk genre or the trad genre or the kind of the rising scene within the Irish music scene. And as I say, yeah, they really cut their own figure in amongst all of that through the kind of the patience and the world building of their sound. And yeah, commanding vocals and beautifully, beautifully made music. So yeah, do check it out if you're a fan of such things. But dear listener, it is that time of the show. Yes, they seek him here, they seek him there. Those musos seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven or is he at the disco? That damned elusive Count of Monte Playlisto. Yes, dear listener. The styling, profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, playlist making, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun, has delved deep once again into the Irish music industry to find and deliver a beautiful bounty in the shape of TLMT's mixtape on Spotify. Link in the bio, etc. Let us do this thing. Yes, dear listener, you know it. The playlisting king is back. Gotta pay respects to the king of podcasting and the king of playlisting, and now the king of video. What else can the Count of Monte Playlisto do? Well, I will tell you, dear listener, he's going to tell you about the latest tracks added to this week's playlist. The first one up comes from Kneecap. And this is another cut from their upcoming album, Fine Art. And it features Nino, and it is called Lovemaking. And yeah, this is, so I like this for various reasons. One of the reasons is in the first release of this track from their album, and I kind of read a press release thing where it's like, it's set in a pub or something like that. I was like, oh no. Sometimes that kind of, well, I do think that's a cliche concept. But, and I was a little bit worried that it would make its way into every facet of the album, but definitely not in the case with this song. It is great, and it really, I think, shows another side to Kneecap as well. But having the kind of having the featuring from Nino on the vocals, who does a really great, really powerful performance, and it really matches the tone and the way the guys are kind of are rapping on the track as well. I think as well, just through their use of the Irish language and the English language, it does give them this kind of unique meter to how they do it. And it also obviously offers them a wider array of rhymes to do. And I think they're really, look, they're great. They're one of those bands right now that are very much speaking to the Irish music scene and speaking to the music scene as a whole, and they are in many ways representing the Irish music scene kind of in an international level too. They're really kind of putting it out there, and you gotta give it to them for that. And this song once again shows that it's not all just interviews and social media posts. The music is most certainly there to back it up, and it is most certainly there on this latest cut from them. So yeah, that's Love Making from Kneecap. Fine Art is the album. It's soon to be released, and that is the first track in this week's show. Next up on the playlist, we have the latest release from Kez with Overgrown. And this is a departure from our last track. This has more of a kind of a Laura Marling-esque feeling to it. And it's one of those songs, we're talking about this of All Living Things last week, kind of the, how much I enjoy the kind of quiet little kind of building into the big thing. This one kind of follows a similar thing, but I will say that Kez's voice is quite powerful. In that, you know, evoking, as I say, the Laura Marling-esque kind of feel about things. It is a lot more commanding. And it does kind of have this kind of feel to it, but it does kind of build you up. It does kind of have, I'm going to take you on a thing and we're going to get more intense. And I love that. I love stuff that does that. And Kez most certainly does it on this new single, Overgrown. You got to check it out. it is a great, great track. And yeah, it's got a very entangled sense of songwriting and a powerful vocal. And you can't really beat that. That's a hell of a combination from Kez. Well done, Kez. Sure, they'd be happy with that. Overgrown, and it's on the playlist. Check it out. Next up, we have the EP, the latest EP from Lucy Gaffney, Pitfalls. And we're going to go with the title track from that, Pitfalls. And yeah, I love a good song that starts off with a little bit of feedback, a little bit of feedback into the dreamy vibes, and in it goes. Yeah, Lucy has been featured on a podcast a few times now, and I really love her sound and songwriting. It really plays into, as I say, that kind of dreamy jangle thing that that is just made for the likes of me. I love dreamy, jangly vibes all the time. And it most certainly delivers that on Pitfalls. Yeah, opening with the kind of the little bit of feedback into the kind of lush guitars and into a beautifully hushed vocal as well from Lucy Gaffney. And yeah, really, really great opening to the EP. Great EP as well. And a great title track from her. So someone as well who's kind of building themselves up, I suppose, to the big album release. And this EP is very much like a firing shot into that world. So yeah, go check it out on the playlist. Lucy Gaffney, Pitfalls. And finally, with the Spotify playlist tracks, we have another one, a little bonus offering at the very end. But next up, we have Susan O'Neill with her brand new single, Bright Eyes. Susan, who is, I would say, part of the Irish, or the part of the Waterford music mafia in Ireland. Yeah, yeah. It's a thing. You didn't know it was a thing, but it is a thing. I'm from Waterford, Katie Kim. Susan O'Neill, I think, was part of the Waterford music scene. Oh, yeah. We all meet up. Do you know the thing about that is there's going to be actual people who take that seriously. Yeah. Us, oh, Emperor. We're you know, constantly just meeting up and deciding the fate of the Irish music scene. Susan O'Neill is a great artist who makes great music. And her latest single is a testament to that, Bright Eyes. And yeah, we were talking about things that I love. Hazy guitar stuff, big bills. I also like big drums in music. And this song has it. And Susan O'Neill's voice is incredibly striking. And it has shades of it to kind of the Lisa Hannigan-esque kind of type feel of it. And even musically, but I think on a harder edge as well. Yeah, I think this is a great track, great solo track from Susan O'Neill that plays into that. And it's intricately played. There's the musicianship of it is beautiful. The vocal is center stage. And the performance is end of stage to create a truly, truly striking track. And yeah, an incredible singer and an incredible solo offering as well from Susan O'Neill. So yeah, you got to check it out because it's on the playlist. And I won't go on about the Waterford Music Mafia because the more I think about it, there are absolutely insane people who'd be like, oh, he's right, you know. They are. You are. We do meet up. And finally, we're going to end this segment with a track that isn't on Spotify, but yet instead it is on Bandcamp, and for very good reason. This is Sive and her latest single, If I Must Die. It is Rafit Alarir's poem. So she is set to music, and a beautiful poem at that, which I think you can read on the Bandcamp page as well, and obviously hear as Sive puts it to music and puts it to voice and sings it so beautifully. And it is out now. It is in aid of the Doctors Without Borders Gaza Emergency Regional Fund, and it is a beautiful piece of music, and it is a beautiful performance. Yeah, and it you know, and it's a beautiful way. Look, we've been talking the last couple of weeks of artists coming to the fore, especially here in Ireland, it has to be said, to really do what they can and put their craft into helping others. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. And it's beautiful when you see a work of poetry by Alarir and Sive coming together to release, to create this beautiful piece of music. And again, a beautiful, beautiful gesture. And yeah, there's this heartfelt nature to it that just floats along. And it is quite a striking track. You can purchase it on Bandcamp. And as I say, the money will go in aid of Doctors Without Borders Gaza Emergency Regional Fund. And please do check that out. And support it in any way you can, because it is for a great cause. And that is this week's playlist. Yes, dear listener, we come to the final part of the show where I tell you about some live music happening around the city of Dublin town this week. We have Moncrief, also part of the Waterford Music Mafia, playing the Three Olympia on May 7th. We also have Miles Kane playing the Academy on May 8th. Sick Love, whose album Champagne we reviewed last week on the show, which is really great, is they are playing the Soundhouse on May 9th. Faye Webster is playing the Vicar Street on May 9th as well. And Baxter Drury is playing the Button Factory on May 9th also. Dear listener, yeah, and go out and see whatever live bands and live acts and live music and art you wanna, but they are just some of what's happening around. And so it goes, and there it went. But before I go, thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Last Mixtape Podcast in all the usual places and spaces. You can also submit your music to me via stephen@thelastmixtape.com or with the subject matter TLMT Podcast, or via Instagram or wherever else way you wanna communicate. But for now, this was the Last Mixtape Podcast. You were the listener. I was Stephen White. Hey, so long.